Pleased to be joined on the line now by 1993 World Series champion and current Blue Jays special assistant and former Cy Young winner, of course, as well. It is Pat Henkin. Pat, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I think we're all trying to hold up as best as possible. It's been a big change for a lot of people. How have you been, biding your time, I guess, for the time being before we get baseball back in our lives?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my wife and I drove down to spring training. I was excited about going down and seeing the team. And in the role that I have, it's a small role, but I feel like at times you make impacts and you're trying to make a big impact. And I got down there. I was in uniform for like 4 days. And then all of a sudden, you know, the virus really started to take off and MLB shut us down and sent everybody home. And my wife and my three daughters, we've been following the protocol. I'm in Michigan in my house. We've been here since last Monday when I drove home from Dunedin. My wife and I drove home on Sunday and got to Michigan on Monday, and we've been quarantined since. So we've just been trying to follow the protocol and try to flatten the curve, as they say.
For sure, and that's good to hear that you guys are doing well right now. And as you mentioned, you're down in spring training for a couple of days there. And you know, before we get to the World Series stuff, I got to ask you about Nate Pearson, because he seemed to be the one guy that was just turning everybody's heads down there in spring. It's hard not to look at a guy when he's throwing 100 miles an hour and stands at 6'6" plus and has the type of build that he has. But he's a guy I imagine that you've seen quite a bit the last couple of years since he's been in the Blue Jays system. I mean, the fastball, the velocity clearly stands out about him, but from the things that I've been able to gather, reading about him, he's quite a student of the game as well. I mean, he's a guy that uses a lot of the advanced technology, spin rate, and a lot of different things. It's pretty cool to see a guy that's so young, that's so dedicated to the craft of pitching.
Yeah, you're right. You hit it on the head. I mean, one, he's a hard worker, and two, his misses are good. And what I mean by that is he's not buckshot with his fastball. He tries to throw a ball away to the right. He stays on that side. He keeps the ball in his lane pretty good for a young pitcher. And on top of that, he's got a nice delivery. He's got a good tempo, really good delivery. He gets good load on the backside. And, we're really excited as an organization. I mean, I think MLB is excited to see this guy perform and compete at that level. It just comes down to making adjustments, being able to self-coach. He's going to have some very challenging hurdles in the next probably 6 months once MLB gets back up and roaring. And, we'll see how he deals with some adversity. He's really never struggled. So these are issues that happen to every big leaguer. And Nate is fully ready to challenge to do that and to overcome that challenge. He's a heck of a prospect. We're excited.
Yeah, I think everybody is excited to watch him finally make his Major League debut at some point. And if baseball returns, maybe it's later this year for the Blue Jays, which would be great to see. We know the Blue Jays added a ton of veteran free agents as far as starting pitchers this offseason. Hyunjin Ryu right at the top of the list, but Tanner Roark signs. You guys make the trade for Chase Anderson. Matt Shoemaker's back. So, there's a ton of veteran guys that have been through the rigors of a regular season, and we know there's a lot of young, up-and-coming pitchers in the system, a lot of guys that, made their debuts and got their first taste last year as well, Pat. I mean, we'll talk about 92 and 93 in a moment here, but, when you first came up, there were a lot of guys that were, veteran players that were already, all-star players, had been around the major leagues for quite some time. How important is that for, young guys in the system to have those veterans to lean on and learn from as well?
Well, I think the young pitchers that have been around Shoemaker already get a feel for that, how important that can be. Even though he got hurt, he's a polished veteran guy that guys look up to for sure. Adding Ryu, of course, I mean, you're talking about one of the elite guys in the league. I'm excited to see him wear the Blue Jay uniform and pitch in Toronto in front of those crowds and do what he does. He's been a solid performer in his career. And Tanner Roark, too, kind of a sleepy sign for me. I really, really admire him. I admire what he's done. He's a workhorse on the mound. He's a Mark Burley type guy. He's an innings eater. And I have always felt that every major league staff always has one or two of these guys that they might not win 20 games. They might not have the ERA leader. They might not win the ERA title, but you know what? They're solid. They're dependable. They go six innings, and it has a real good ripple effect on your team, the way the manager manages the game the day before he pitches, the day after. It really helps the bullpen. So Tanner Roark and Shoemaker back and Ryu, great offseason for us this year. What an incredible offseason.
So who are some of the guys that you leaned on when you first came up in the bigs with the Blue Jays? As I mentioned, a lot of guys that were already established veterans, some young guys as well in those championship years. But is there anybody that you really leaned on and they kind of took you under their wing when you first got started?
Oh, yeah, great question. Clearly, Hanky and Wardle, because I spent my first year in the big leagues in the bullpen as a long reliever. Didn't get a chance to pitch a lot, but when I did, I tried to take advantage of it. In 93, out of spring training, Al Leiter beat me in spring training. He beat me out for the fifth spot. Then Stewart got hurt. I ended up taking a chance, getting in that rotation. I can't remember if it was one or two starts after we left Florida. And the guys that I leaned on, boy, I'll tell you, Dave Steeb, the year before I got in the rotation for sure. Jack Morris, while I was in the rotation, while I was in the bullpen in 92. But remember, I grew up in Detroit. So, you know, Jack had started 12 consecutive opening days. And, you know, he was always a guy that we looked up to here in Detroit growing up. And then, obviously, Jimmy Key was a Stottlemyre. I was lucky. I mean, when I came in, we had a stacked team that was businesslike but also had fun. And guys that had accountability. And guys that held people accountable in the clubhouse. So, you know, it was Jack Morris. It was Dave Winfield. It was Paul Molitor. It was David Cone. It was Dwayne Ward. It was Tom Hanke. There were so many guys that you could pick from. I tried to pick from all of them, really.
So what was that like, you know, when you're 22, 23, and you know, some of these guys you came up through the system with, so you knew them already. But when you join a major league team with, you know, all these all-stars and some guys that end up being in Cooperstown and Hall of Famers, was that difficult for you to kind of find your role within the clubhouse and, you know, find, you know, when, you know, there are moments that you could talk? You know, we understand that back in those days, things were a little bit more old school compared to the way clubhouses are run these days. But was that ever a challenge for you, or did you always feel that, you know, the guys were pretty welcoming and wanted to have a good clubhouse culture?
No, the guys were always welcoming for me. I came up in a great era. The team was great in 84, 85, 87, 89. All the years I was in the minor leagues, I finally break with the club in 91, September 92, I make the team. You know, just a great core of great players. Joe Carter, Devon White, Alomar, Olerud, one of the most underrated players for me. Great first baseman. Sprague was a blue-collar grinder. Gruber was a hell of an athlete. I mean, it was just a great core of players that held each other accountable, learned from each other, and helped each other. I mean, example, Alomar helped me with, I used to go over my head. He says, you're tipping your curveball. I remember with Greg Myers and I in the outfield in Toronto my rookie year. He helped me. You know, just little things like that that, you know, may go unnoticed. You don't even realize you're doing it. And then a guy like Alomar tells you that you are, and you're like, holy cow, a two-pitch pitcher, and I'm tipping one of my pitches. You know, how easy is that for the hitter? So, you know, we were lucky. We stayed healthy. We had very durable players at the time as well. Guys answered the bell. Guys played hurt. And I think, really, when it came down to it, guys like Molitor and Winfield came from different organizations but instantly took on that leadership role. Jack Morris was probably in that category too. So just a great core of veteran guys with some young guys mixed in.
Blue Jays special assistant, former Cy Young winner, and of course Blue Jays World Series champion joining us here, Pat Henkin, on Sportsnet today here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Rob Wong. And, you know, 92-93, both championship teams, but I think some people may forget that there were a lot of names and faces that changed in that single season. You look at the guys on the 92 roster, and many of those guys didn't return in 93. And of course, in 93, you guys add a guy in Ricky Henderson. What was that like just with the amount of turnover, I guess, from season to season? I mean, you still end up winning a World Series, so, you know, it works out. But was that difficult at all with the amount of changes that happened over, you know, an off season?
Well, you know, the going back a little bit earlier than that, the trade deadline at 92 was incredible because David Cone was leading the National League in strikeouts. We picked him up after the waiver wire. And I remember in the clubhouse, we were just all thinking, holy cow, we just got one of the best pitchers in the National League to come on our team for the last 2 months. Huge boost, incredible morale pickup. Not that we needed it. But it was just like, oh, boy, we're going to go now. You know what I mean? It gave you that extra edge of confidence. 93, same thing. We get one of the most elite players of all time. For me, one of the top five players, arguably, of forever, was Ricky Henderson. And to make the trade and get Ricky at the deadline there and have his confidence it was like when we got David Cone and Jack Morris. It was the same thing. Their confidence that they just shared with everybody, it grew and it became contagious. And it was just a great era for us, and we all have this special bond when we see each other. It's really neat to go back to Toronto and see some of the reunions. When we go to the reunions and everything, we just have such a good time. So it's a great family that I'm part of. I'm very proud of it.
So as I mentioned, the 93 World Series, you were a big part of that team. And that game that you pitched in game number three, the 10-3 victory, Danny Jackson was on the other side. And, you know, that was such a fun series, as we all know, Joe Carter hitting the game-winning homer in game six. But what do you remember most about that game three start against Philly? Because it's on the road. It's your first, you know, World Series game that you're starting. What were the nerves like heading into that one? And, you know, in the end, I mean, you had a great performance. So, you know, whether you were able to hide it or not, you came through. But what do you remember most about that performance?
I remember my parents being there. I remember the rain delay. It was like an hour and a half rain delay. I was pacing around from 6 to 7, 7 to 7:30, waiting for them to give us a game time start. I ran into my parents underneath the stadium, and I remember saying to my dad, "This is incredible, isn't it?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's incredible, you know." And we were both nervous. And as I warmed up, I remember the fan yelling down, Billy Joel, you can't handle the pressure. And, yeah, so I ran out in the first inning, and I struck out the first guy. Then I remember I had second and third, and I remember I think Crook hit a double down the right field line or in between the 3-4 hole. And I remember Molitor handing me the ball, and never forget this. He gets the ball in from the outfielder, and I got second and third. The place is pumping. I can't feel my heart. It's pounding through my jersey. He hands me the ball, and he says, "I'm so sorry." He says, "I should have had that." That's what he said to me. And I got lucky, struck out the next two guys. We got out of it. I forgot to mention that three runs in the first always helps, makes every starting pitcher feel a little bit better, makes you breathe a little more comfortable. And, you know, it was one of those teams that our offense was so good, so deep, so strong, so consistent, and so durable. And you knew as a starting pitcher, if you could just hang around, we were going to explode and have that big inning. But can I just make a point about the game four real quick?
Sure.
Game four was the highlight of my career, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we came back and won that game 15-14 in Philly, and I'll never forget the camaraderie in the locker room, in the clubhouse, with 25 guys in a circle after we won, clapping in synchronicity. I swear it felt like a high school football game, and you just won the state championship. And this was only game four, because we knew going back to Toronto with Guzman and Stewart on the mound, we had a really good chance to end this thing. And just to come back and score all those runs in the ninth, again, with that great offense we had and the great offense that the front office put together, and great defense, too, by the way. It was just one of those moments for me that I'll never forget. The 93 World Series Game 4, and I didn't even play in it. But what a feeling. And we've all talked about it years later, and we all had that same feeling.
So I'm happy you brought that up, because, you know, the 15-14 game, you know, one of the most iconic games in Blue Jays history, one of the most entertaining games in baseball history, of course. And you know, that game gives you guys the series lead 3-2. But then the next night, or it's 3-1, but then the next night you guys get shut out by Curt Schilling. And you mentioned, you know, the camaraderie after game four. What was the feeling like after game five? Was there still a sense, like you said, of, look, even if we lose this game, we're still going back with, you know, two big horses in 6 and 7. We still got a great shot at this.
Yeah, I think guys did. I mean, we knew Guzman and Schilling were so good at the time. You know, I think he beat them 1-0, and then Schilling beat Guzzi 1-0, something like that. They both pitched great, neither one of them. Yeah, they were great. They both answered the bell. Guzman was a great, great pitcher, great teammate, too. And we just knew, we just felt confident. You know, and it really helped that we had won the year before. It gives you a sense of a little extra confidence going into it that, hey, we've done this, we've been there, we know what it feels like to win, we know what it feels like to win on the road. We know how to win on the road. And I think the 92 championship team, because about 15 guys, I think, have two rings. There was about 15 of us that were on both. And it just gave us a little extra confidence, I think, going into that 93 World Series for sure.
All right, I got to ask you before we let you go, Pat. I think a lot of people remember where they were when Joe Carter hit that game-winning home run. Were you in the dugout? Were you in the bullpen when it happened? What are your recollections of that moment?
So, good question. I was actually charting the game back then. The starting pitcher, the day before he pitched, charted the game. So I was sitting at the end of the dugout with the water cooler. I was charting the game, thinking, holy cow, you know, we're going to game seven. What the hell is Cito thinking? He's got me going on game seven. So we were, you know, it was just a great moment. I mean, I remember when Joe hit it. I remember I was in the dugout. I remember thinking, stay fair, because he hooked everything. He was a dead pull hitter. He hit a lot of balls pulled foul down left field line. Didn't know if it was going to be high enough to get out, but I really thought it was going to hook foul. And it just stayed online. And the rest is history. As the great Tom Cheek said, touch them all, Joe. You know, it was just a moment that the rest of us were just so thankful to be part of.
So do you remember what happened in the aftermath of that? Like, were you running onto the field? Did you kind of black out? Or do you remember any specific things happening while you were on the field at that time?
Well, it was just a melee at home plate where there's, you know, 40 of us or however many there were just out on the field celebrating. And I could visualize Joe. I could visualize Bob Baylor, our first base coach, Nick Leyva. I mean, I just, you know, just the excitement, the feeling that you get to know that you played until the final out of the MLB season is just a great accomplishment. So hard to do. And for us to do it back to back, it was just a great feeling. Like I said, led by some great pros and some HOFs. Like you said, there's some Hall of Famers on that roster, on both those rosters. So it's just really, really just a great time, brother. Just a fun time to be around. I know they're televising those games up there, and it's exciting for sure.
Yeah, definitely was an exciting time, and we're very happy to be reliving it, of course. With everything going on right now, we need some escape, and you know, this was great today, Pat. Really appreciate the time. Love the fact that we were able to reminisce about that. Stay safe, you and your family, and hopefully we'll chat again soon.
Okay, thanks for having me. Stay safe. Take care.